In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That verse is Deuteronomy 31:8. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about the fruits of the Spirit. In the past few days, we've talked about love, joy, peace, patience, and gentleness. Patience, or long-suffering, as it's given in the King James Version of the Bible. And I got a letter from a woman who has learned a great deal, it seems to me, about all of these fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and gentleness, through suffering. I think it's worth reading her letter to you. She tells me that she's read my book called A Path Through Suffering. I wanted to write to tell you of the sheer joy this book has given to me, or perhaps highlighted for me. It is indeed the joy of finding Jesus through pain. Friends say we, my husband and I, have suffered much. On an intellectual level, I can say yes, it's so. However, I experience such richness of the love of God, the exquisite joy of being His precious daughter, the wonder and awe of the love of Jesus on the cross for me and all of us. We have suffered through, now listen to this list, see how many of them you can identify with, and did you have them all at once? I guess she didn't have them all at once, but this is what she says. We have suffered through the tragedies of unemployment, protracted illness, a lost adolescent who nearly destroyed our family through sexual abuse and violence, personal bankruptcy, my husband's fall from a roof and multiple surgeries, my parents, both of them, Alzheimer's disease. These are hard things. They have caused much pain, but through them I have learned to yield to Jesus. I have laid down fighting Him and His ways. They certainly aren't my ways, but I have learned to trust Him, to know that I know nothing and He knows all, that apart from Him, not only can I do nothing, I am nothing. What freedom, what fullness of life in abandoning myself to His ways. I don't want to sound like I'm there. I daily work to die with Jesus. Sometimes are harder than others, but in the end, my will is resolved to say, "Yes, Lord." And my husband and I have happily learned that our suffering is to bring life beyond ourselves. Almost daily, we have opportunities to witness to Jesus' transforming power in our lives. We have such rich opportunities to share the wisdom, the compassion, mercy, and love Jesus has given to us. This book, that seems too intellectual a word for these pages, blessed me so because it was more like reading a letter than a book. It was almost like having Jesus sit me down to talk to me and say, I know where you've been. I've walked with you. See all the signposts of my presence along the way. It's as if you have put into words my journey through suffering and pain. Elegant words, tender words, holy words. It's kind of like looking through a picture album and remembering. It's a treasured experience. That's how your words have blessed me. They are indeed a treasure. And again, she is referring to my book, A Path Through Suffering. I do believe that we will not learn to produce the fruits of the Spirit without a measure of suffering. God will see to it that the exact measure is given to us at the exact time that's best, and He will give us opportunities through those difficulties, as this woman testifies, to experience the love, joy, peace, patience, and gentleness, which are far beyond anything natural in any of us. Think of the list of troubles. Again, unemployment, protracted illness, a lost adolescent, sexual abuse and violence, bankruptcy, a fall from a roof and multiple surgeries, and her parents having Alzheimer's disease. And yet, the letter is filled with joy and thanksgiving. Gerald Vann, in his book, The Divine Pity, says suffering is a means to an end, and therefore there is a reason for it. It is part of the plot of a love story, and we must see it as such. Does God rejoice in suffering? Yes or no? There has to be a double answer. In itself, no, of course not. Good cannot rejoice in evil as such. As a means from which good will come, yes, if by rejoicing you mean a willing of the end, which therefore includes the indirect willing of the means and is accompanied by pity. Only thus, indirectly, is suffering caused by God. And this is so important for you to understand. I hope that those of you who have questions about suffering and evil and why a loving God allows them will listen very carefully, because I think Gerald Vann puts it so helpfully for all of us. I get so many letters from so many of you asking me the why question and how. Why would God allow this to happen to me? How does it fit into Romans 8:28 that says everything that happens fits into a pattern for good? Well, I think Gerald Vann has some words for us. God does not rejoice in suffering as an evil in itself, but as a means from which good will come, yes. If by rejoicing you mean a willing of the end, which therefore includes the indirect willing of the means. And what is God's end when he allows us to suffer? The Bible clearly tells us that one of the reasons is that our faith may be refined as gold is refined. Another reason that he gives us in Romans 8:29 is that we should be shaped to the likeness of his Son. Another reason is that we may be able to console other people. So let me go on reading what Gerald Vann says. The good his love wills for us may have the effect of hurting us here and now. But the hurt is not what he directly wills, and that it is a hurt for us is the result of our sin. In giving man the gift of freedom, God gives him the freedom to sin. And from sin, the evil of suffering follows. But also, by suffering, the sin can be expiated, and its effects in some measure remedied. The pain of the world is not the final thing, as sin itself is not the final thing. The Word was made flesh and dwells among us. The power to restore the world is in the world. That is the power of God. The revelation of the glory is given us if we have eyes to see. And what revelation do you think he's referring to there? I believe it's to Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was the Word, became a baby, grew up as a man, walked and talked and lived as an ordinary man for 3 years, so that we can see the glory of God. The revelation of the glory is given us if we have eyes to see, and it is compatible with goodness and pity to rejoice in the fact of suffering, if the suffering is what causes us to see. Let me ask you, haven't you experienced understanding spiritual lessons because of suffering that you could not have understood otherwise? Just take a simple example. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." That's God talking. Now, if I never have to go through any deep waters, how will I know that God will be with me in deep waters? Vann says that is exactly what suffering can, in fact, do, and why it is part of the plot of the love story. Sin, and therefore suffering, are permitted by the eternal providence because after sin is the cross. And in the cross, the revelation of the depths of love, the mercy, and the pity of God. You need suffering of one sort or another, to become adult in love. You need it to understand the depths of love and the depths of pity, because you need it in order to experience the deepest truths and realities. I certainly know that it has been through the deep waters and the hot fires that I have experienced the deepest truths and realities. I love what Gerald Vann says, that suffering is part of the plot of the love story. And we can see that it's part of the plot of every love story, can't we? If you really love somebody, you're going to suffer. C.S. Lewis says, if you don't want to suffer, don't ever love anything, not even an animal. Did you cry when your canary died? I cried when my dog died. We cry when our children die. We cry when our loved ones die. We cry because we love them. And when we fall in love with somebody and end up marrying that person, we're going to have more reason for shedding tears. Suffering comes along with love. Suffering is a part of the plot of the love story. And the things which we're especially thinking about in these 2 weeks that God wants to produce in us, and suffering is part of the plot, are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, and gentleness.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.